and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of July 16th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and paint-splattered Melissa Hansen.
Yes, I am. I've been doing a lot of painting, and I can't get it off my hands. So I will just be rubbing paint spots off my hands for the whole podcast.
Makes for great radio.
You guys can be doing that.
Yeah. So what does your week in entertainment look like?
Not too much, because I've been painting a week, but last weekend I actually saw a classic, one of those, like, embarrassed that I've never seen it things. Yeah. I finally saw The Great Escape.
Oh, well, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen it, so go
okay.
Right ahead.
Well, yeah, it's from 1963. It's a war movie.
Yeah.
POWs in a German camp, and it's about a great escape. It's like they're this camp that no one can ever escape from, and of course, you know, the Allied prisoners figure out a way, and half the movie's like kind of funny, them like planning this and pulling one over on those funny Nazis and that, and then you get really tense because there's the escape, and you kind of think the movie's over, but it's not, because you follow what happens after they escape and if they actually make it. I guess it's based on a true story, and I really liked it. And then that last segment I was talking about, it's that, you know, some of them die. And I just all of a sudden was like, this is the worst movie ever made. I hate it.
It's a war movie.
It's a war movie. I know. I get it. But, no, it was an excellent movie. It's like 3 hours long. So kind of, you know, pee before you sit to watch it.
Yeah.
Be there a while. No, it's a great movie. I get why it's a huge classic. And the cast is amazing. It's Steve McQueen, James Gardner, who I'm even more in love with after this, Richard Attenborough, Charles Bronson, Donald Pleasance, James Coburn.
Wow.
You know, David McCallum was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yep.
And is now on NCIS.
That's right.
So it's a really good movie, but I was sitting there and I wasn't like totally getting it, and then it hit me.
What do you mean?
That scene in Sleepless in Seattle where Rita Wilson is going on about An Affair to Remember.
Yeah.
And like why women just get this movie. And then Victor Garber starts talking about Dirty Dozen. I think he could have just replaced that with The Great Escape.
Gotcha. Well, like, they are similar movies.
Yeah. The Great Escape is to guys what An Affair to Remember is to girls.
Okay.
And I'm like, I get this movie now.
Yeah.
Get why it is what it is.
Huh.
Oh, no, so yeah, it's a war movie, but it's a really interesting one. And like I said, the cast is brilliant in it.
Yeah.
So I would even recommend it, you know, for chicks. You want to make your guy happy, you know, sit and watch this, and then
nice.
He owes you An Affair to Remember.
Was this something that was on Netflix, or did you watch it on DVD, or what?
I watched it on DVD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of those, like, you haven't seen this?
Yeah.
See it. Okay, let's watch it.
Gotcha.
So, and I'm glad I did.
Well, I'm glad I went to a movie that I had no intention of going to see. And we talked about this before, but Mark Webb's The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm a huge
Spider-Man. Can I just first laugh at that it's Mark Webb?
I know, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Go on.
But Mark Webb, who did 500 Days of Summer with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel, which I absolutely loved. But, you know, to turn around and do a big blockbuster tentpole superhero movie.
Yeah.
Which is the flagship, you know, character for Marvel Comics. But I've been a Spidey fan since I was a kid, right? So reruns of the classic Ralph Bakshi 1967 animated series.
Yes.
Watched those when in the early 70s when it was on reruns on Chicago TV.
Oh, yeah, me too. I got Spider-Girl underoos. Because I couldn't get Spider-Man.
That's right.
Because I'm sick, but... Yeah, absolutely. And I would put those on to watch that.
Nice. Spidey was on The Electric Company, you know.
Yeah.
Then in the 80s, we had Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And I was reading the comic books. I mean, my comic book Spidey collection goes back to probably the late 70s when you had all those disco influences. But anyway, so huge
yeah.
Spider-Man fan.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Sam Raimi films.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I was completely blown away by them. The first one, although I do say the second one is still probably one of the best superhero movies ever made. Yes. One with Doc Ock. Third one kind of left me a little flat. But, all right, so it hasn't been that long, and now we're rebooting the franchise, if only because Sony wants to retain the rights so they don't revert to Disney in the Marvel contract.
Okay.
That being said, I'm like, all right, we'll go see it. My brother and I went to see it. I was up in the Boston area, and we went to a late show, did not see it in 3D. I refused to see it in 3D. And sat there and was completely mesmerized and touched and moved and surprised by what they were able to do. Now, I've heard Dave and Eric and those guys, Patrick, picked it apart. And there are things that are going to make this movie fall apart. But in the initial viewing, the initial impression for an age-old Spidey fan, this thing really, really worked for me.
Wow.
In a way I was not expecting at all. I mean, some things have changed. They've updated. They've integrated it into the modern world. They've grounded it in a reality that I don't think the original story ever had.
Okay.
Yes, there are a lot of loose threads, but Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield are fantastic, as are Sally Field and Martin Sheen as Aunt May and Uncle Ben. Reese Ifans doing the lizard, it was a touching humanistic character, and that character is always important to me because he was as much a kind of a struggling hero as he was a villain, kind of like the Hulk where you're struggling with two sides.
Right.
And in the classic story, he had his son who was friends with Spider-Man, which made it even more difficult for him. But this was a thriller. From the word go, it's set up. From the opening scene, it's set up as a thriller. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't already seen it. But it's a mystery that doesn't necessarily get solved, but it puts everything in motion and sets the tone for how the film plays out from beginning to end. Dennis Leary is fantastic.
Oh, good.
I was just really, really impressed. Is it going to hold up to second or third viewings as strong? Probably not. But I like where they're going with this. They tease out Norman Osborn, and the anybody who knows Gwen Stacy's character arc, in terms of being Peter's girlfriend and how her life plays out, knows that the Green Goblin has a very significant role in her life. So we will see that, obviously, probably by the third film. I'm hoping we see Electro or Scorpion or Rhino or somebody we haven't seen in the second film. These classic Spidey villains, but I highly recommend it. I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm one that it looks like they did a good job with it, but do I really want to see this now?
Yeah.
I mean, I figured I'll eventually see it, but maybe I will put that a little higher on my list then.
They just took some of the fantasy out of it in that Peter is very much kind of a skateboard kid. He's kind of got that mentality. So when he does get his powers, there's a skater influence. There's a parkour, those amazing martial arts guys who can flip and move. Those are kind of his moves. So it's not so unusual to see a guy doing stuff like that when he's fighting.
Okay.
Way they integrate kind of social media and technology into it. Just, I don't know. It was really well done.
Okay.
Really well done.
Okay. Well, I will probably be checking it out then.
Right. And surprisingly enough, it got beat out at the box office this week, didn't it?
It did. I mean, with a new movie, but still, I would have thought it'd be number one still. Anyhow, shows again what that counter programming can do.
Exactly.
Ice Age, Continental Drift.
Yeah.
Number one with 46 million.
Well, we knew it was going to do well.
There were a lot of little kids keeping cool at the theater this week.
Yeah.
And then, Amazing Spider-Man came in second with 35. So there was a bit of a gap, too. It's made over $200 million total.
And more than half a billion worldwide, so.
Yeah, so it's doing fine. But still, a little shocking that it got beat out this week by Ice Age.
Yeah.
And then Ted is in third.
The foul-mouthed teddy bear.
Yep. And Brave is almost 11 million in fourth, and Magic Mike with 9 million.
Which Channing Tatum is now developing a sequel for.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it's going to make $100 million. And
this week it'll be over $100 million.
Yeah.
By this time next weekend. So, why not? It would be interesting to see what way they go with it, because, like, it's, you know, will they stick with the stripping stuff, or will they just tell us about him, you know, in his life? Will he move on from that, or what? That would be interesting.
Just maybe he'll become, like, a private detective or something. And
that would be excellent.
A stripping detective.
Oh, nice. Nice. I think I may have some work for him.
Well, there's only one movie coming to the box office this week, and only one movie worth talking about, and that is The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes. And what are we going to say about it? It's going to kick everything's ass.
For the next several weeks.
Oh, yeah. It'll be number one for quite a while, I'm sure.
Now, here's another movie I am completely ambivalent about.
Really?
I am.
I am not as excited about this one as I was the last one.
Yeah.
I will say that. I think I was more excited when they first started shooting it and, like, shots were coming out and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'll definitely see it, but I'm not going to be, you know, midnight showing, you know, with my money there on the counter.
Right. Well, I am going to go back and watch the first two films this week, because I think originally I watched them through different eyes, with them being shot in Chicago, with familiar faces being involved. I actually worked on the first film.
I was going to say, yeah, your face. Well,
yeah,
your
not my face, but yeah, my car, actually. I was driving in the Batmobile chase sequence. Yeah, I think I had a different connection to these films than most people did, so in a way it was kind of tainted, but I'll go back and see. I don't know. Christopher Nolan is an amazing director. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's very character-driven. He's very intense. His films almost exhaust you with how intense they can be. And in a way, maybe I'm not looking forward to that. Maybe I'm not looking forward to being tired out by 2.5 hours of Batman. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm not that excited to see Christian Bale or even Tom Hardy.
I hate Christian Bale.
I'm excited to see Gary Oldman and Morgan Freeman.
That's true.
That's like who I want to see. Yay!
Yeah, and Anne Hathaway is supposed to be pretty damn good in this, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see her take on Catwoman.
Yeah.
So, and we get Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
In a new character that they created just for this film. So.
So that may be. He's always, you know, great to watch.
Yeah.
So that may be worth it.
Well, we shall see. We'll have more to talk about next week, because I will definitely go and see it. So,
all right.
Along with everybody else in the world.
You can't. Yeah, you have fun standing. Yeah.
I think I'll go off hours. But if you're not going to the box office this week and you want to see what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, you head over to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and look at the cover art gallery for July 17th.
Yep, and one of the slightly bigger releases, and one I'm so psyched for to watch again, is Friends with Kids.
Jennifer Westfeldt is an amazingly quirky filmmaker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great film. It's a chick flick, but more, absolutely.
Starring the cast of Bridesmaids.
Yeah, a lot of them. And Adam Scott.
Right.
Isn't it? And it's kind of romantic comedy, but there's more to it. It's a whole bunch of friends, and then, you know, the two couples have kids and their whole life changes, and the two singles are like, what are we missing out on? So they decide, you know what? Let's have a kid together.
Yeah.
And we'll just raise it. You get a half the time, I get a half the time, and, you know, we'll just co-parent. And then...
No strings attached co-parenting.
No strings attached kind of thing. And then but there are strings, because it's life, and it's relationships, and it's feelings, and so that interesting. And then, you know, it's really just a study of relationships, which I know I'm not making this sound nearly as good as it is. Yeah. But it's very, very fun. I mean, with the cast... Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, you know, it's John Hamm. It's a hysterical cast. And yeah, there are definitely serious moments, but there's also great humor in it.
Yeah, and it's a really well-told story. I mean, once you get hooked, you get past the first 5 or 10 minutes where it's kind of an odd improv conversation where you're like, where's this thing going?
Mm-hmm.
But then once you're in and you get emotionally hooked into these characters' lives, you ride it out with the rest of them, and you are moved by the end.
Yeah. So if you tend to, like, when we're talking about stuff, agree with me, totally check this out if you missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And definitely recommend it.
Some things that may or may not play to larger audiences. Will Ferrell's Spanish language film Casa de mi Padre.
This thing is so intriguing to me.
Yeah.
I will have to check it out eventually because I don't get it.
And I don't think a lot of people did, and it didn't make a ton of money at the box office. Mel Gibson's Get the Gringo. Now, can we officially put a nail in the coffin of his career?
Nobody went
to see The Beaver, which was Jodie Foster. Yeah. Nobody went to see this.
I don't even know what this is.
It's another one of his rough and tumble characters.
Action?
I don't know. I just don't care about his films anymore.
No, I don't either.
He's gotten to a point where he's box office poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You've got the Three Stooges movie, which I think is one of the dumbest things. If you want to go watch the Three Stooges, Columbia, Sony just put out a huge box set of all their shorts. I don't know why you'd want to see this, but Farrelly Brothers made it anyways. Mm-hmm. And it actually, a lot of people enjoyed it. So,
okay.
What do I say?
Well, opposite end here. Singing in the Rain, 60th anniversary. It's out on Blu-ray.
It was just in theaters last Thursday.
Yes. They did a big screen thing.
That was the night I went to see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, to see it on the big... You and I saw it on the big screen.
Yes, with Gene Kelly's widow.
Yes.
Discussing their life and him, and that was amazing.
Yes,
but seeing it on Blu-ray, I'm sure is going to be amazing, too.
And I've got it here, and I'll be looking at it tonight or tomorrow, and doing it. It's one of my favorite films of all times. I hate those when people say, well, what's your favorite movie? Well, I don't have a specific favorite movie, but this is up towards the top.
Yeah, me too. It's a perfect movie. It's perfect in every way.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. A movie that's not perfect but fits in with that musical genre, kind of the epic musical, is Camelot with Sir Richard Harris and Vanessa Redgrave. I watched it recently. There'll be a review up coming. And it was the last of the big musicals. Jack Warner spent a ton of money on this for Warner Brothers, and it bombed.
Yeah.
Just did not do. It's too much. Oops. It's too big. The music, the stage version, I love, and I understand what they were trying to do here, but it's just too much.
Well, there's some TV on DVD coming out. Eureka, the final season, is out, and Sanctuary, the fourth season, is out, and then the Sarah Jane Adventures, the fifth series, is out on Blu-ray.
Yes. With the passing of Lady Elizabeth Sladen, it's that show comes to an end, and as does a great character in the Doctor Who universe.
Yeah.
And Designing Women, the final season, is also available from Shout Factory this week.
Okay.
So, as always, DVD Verdict appreciates you guys spending some time on these pages, and I know it hasn't been updated as well as it could have been lately, and I am making amends by spending a ton of time repopulating that calendar with interesting stuff in the coming weeks. So check that out. Let's head over to streaming media.
Okay.
So it's coming from Netflix this week. And an odd thing at the top of the list is White Christmas.
Okay.
Why? I have no idea. Maybe a Christmas in July kind of thing? Maybe? Don't know. Good movie. Not as good as Holiday Inn. I know you'll fight me on this. This has been an age-old argument between the two of us, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But you don't know what I'm talking about. Please.
A reality-grounded take on Peter Pan, known as Neverland, which stars Anna Friel and Rhys Ifans, who is the lizard in the new Spider-Man movie, and a couple in real life, by the way. That is available this week, as is Angelina Jolie's directorial debut in The Land of Blood and Honey. A follow-up to Sam Neill's surprising miniseries Merlin, known as Merlin's Apprentice. And I remember when they advertised this, but I never saw it, but it was this NBC epic miniseries event from 2000 called The Tenth Kingdom, which was kind of the precursor to ABC's Once Upon a Time, where people from the real world get sucked into a fantasy universe as opposed to the other way around, which is what ABC is doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And very well, I might add. Over at Hulu, we get the Criterion release of Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator. David Lynch's cult classic Eraserhead. Music documentaries from The Clash's Joe Strummer, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Coldplay. And the FX Movie Channel's interviews from Comic-Con 2012.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of celebrity sound bites and things. You might want to check that out. We have a ton of Comic-Con stuff coming to Verdict this week. I have been so overwhelmed with traveling and stuff that I have not. Jim Stewart is down there covering the event for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and posting some of the cool stuff he's seeing.
Yeah. Switching to Amazon Instant, of course, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they occur. And if you're a Prime customer or have access to Amazon Instant, we have Downton Abbey Season 2, which you mentioned last week,
mm-hmm.
Damages Season 4, and Antiques Roadshow Season 16.
Woof. Wow.
My God. In terms of movies, we've got the Python Veterans in A Fish Called Wanda. And then some real male testosterone. So you've got John Wayne in Fort Apache, Tom Cruise in Top Gun, Steve McQueen in Bullet, Harrison Ford in The Fugitive, and George Clooney's Ocean's 11 reboot.
Okay.
So that's all for me, and I'm tossing it over to you.
Okay. TV this week, looking at some non-regular networks. Monday, Degrassi, the new Degrassi, not the one I grew up on, has a season premiere on Teen Nick. And then Thursday on Lifetime, Project Runway has its season premiere. Next weekend, Sunday, The Bachelorette has its big finale on ABC. And if you don't care about that, but care about Justin Bieber, the Teen Choice Awards are on Fox on Sunday nights. Music this week, Susanna Hoffs has a new solo album.
No kidding.
Called Someday.
Good for her.
And then, kind of from out of nowhere here, Soul Asylum.
Whoa.
Album. It's been years since they've had anything.
Yeah.
Delayed Reaction. And then Crosby, Stills, and Nash. CSN 2012. It's actually a live CD, and there's actually a DVD, too, you can get of that concert. And then Step Up Revolution, the soundtrack to that movie, which features J-Lo, Fergie, M.I.A., Timbaland, and Travis Barker.
Oh, really?
Fit in with the rest of them, but, you know, books this week. We have a couple of kind of memoirs, Out of the Blue by Victor Cruz with Peter Schrager, and Cruz is New York Giants wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
So it's about his career and his life. And then Elton John has a book, and all the proceeds are going to his AIDS charity.
Really?
Called Love is the Cure, on life, loss, and the end of AIDS.
Huh.
So just how AIDS has affected him and, you know, through his friends and, you know, why he does so much fundraising for the cause. So, and then, this is so cool, there's a new children's fantasy novel called The Land of Stories.
Yeah.
And it's written by Chris Colfer.
Shut up.
Nope, Chris Colfer from Glee. This past season, like every time they yelled cut, he went and ran to his computer and wrote a book.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, quite impressive. So it looks really cute and sweet and fun. Yep. And in theater, there is a new play coming to the West End. It's called Viva Forever. And it's a story of a young woman whose name is Viva. She forms a singing group and enters like a TV talent show, even though her mother disapproves and stuff. But here's the thing about this.
Yes.
The musical is featuring 16 Spice Girls songs.
Shut up.
It's produced by the woman, Judy Kramer, who brought us Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a similar thing. It's not a story about the Spice Girls. She's just using Spice Girls music.
All right.
Like Mamma Mia just used ABBA's music.
Right.
But the book in this.
Yeah.
Written by Jennifer Saunders.
Get out of town!
From French and Saunders and AbFab.
Oh my God.
So at first I was like, oh my God, you have to be kidding me on this. And then I'm like, oh wait a minute here.
Jennifer is a very talented writer.
Horrible. So anyhow, like I said, that's getting ready to open in the West End.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the reviews on that will be.
Yeah, I'll let you know once it actually opens.
Huh.
So...
Well, tying into the theater thing, we have somewhat sad news. The beautiful and talented Celeste Holm passed away this weekend at the age of 95. And most of you who are kind of in the Gen Y and beyond generation aren't going to recognize her name, but she was a Broadway legend before going on to star in such films as All About Eve and High Society. She played Aunt Polly in the 1970s film version of Tom Sawyer. She was in Three Men and a Baby, and just a wealth of television work. And she was working right up to the end. She had two films that are now in post-production.
Wow.
But she was an amazing woman, and I'm very sorry to see her go. And another amazing person, Hollywood producing legend Richard Zanuck, was the son of studio mogul Daryl Zanuck, died this weekend of a heart attack at the age of 77. And he was a force behind such movies as Jaws and The Exorcist and Blazing Saddles. I mean, the list, Cocoon, The Sting, Driving Miss Daisy.
Wow, that's a resume.
Personal favorites from me, Dr. Dolittle and Hello, Dolly. But in recent years, he has been working almost exclusively with Tim Burton.
Oh, okay.
So he's been producing all of Tim's films.
Wow.
I have a feeling it'll have a profound impact on Tim himself, but... it's really, it was just sad because I'm sure he had a lot more to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of untimely deaths, and what exactly is an untimely death anyways? You know, they say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a difference between somebody in their 30s dying and somebody in their 90s dying.
That's true. But Sylvester Stallone's son, Sage, died from a drug overdose this weekend.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be.
Yeah.
The autopsy results have not come out yet, but it seems like his life had spiraled pretty far down recently. But yeah, very sad story. It looks like he had been dead for quite a few days.
He was found by a housekeeper, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess nobody had talked to him and his mother got worried. So asked like the housekeeper to stop by and check in. But they don't know how she had been there earlier, but like she had instructions to never go near his room and to never bother him and to he seems kind of Howard Hughes-y.
Okay.
But yeah, really, very tragic.
Well, and Sly was actually down in San Diego for Comic-Con this weekend. That I'm sure that was not a great way to receive that news.
Yeah.
Weird thing happened in New York. Kristen Chenoweth is starting a recurring guest role on The Good Wife this year for CBS. Yes.
Except
they were outside filming and a piece of lighting equipment came down and hit her on the head.
Yeah, and then knocked her to the ground and then she hit the back of her head like on the concrete.
Oh, God.
So, seems like she's going to be okay, but it looked pretty serious at the time.
And she's a little bit of a thing, you know?
Yeah, she's not even 5 feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so thank goodness it looks like she's okay.
Yeah.
But creepy.
So we mentioned Stallone was down at Comic-Con. He was there with Schwarzenegger to preview Expendables 2. Just two of the big names that, you know, Hollywood has taken over Comic-Con in recent years, and it's just become insane. So Peter Jackson was there to introduce The Hobbit, Man of Steel, the new Superman movie got its sneak peek, Johnny Depp's Lone Ranger. Robert Downey Jr. was there to tease Iron Man 3 and the new Marvel movies that are coming out in the next, I think, two or three years. This is their slate. So you've got another Thor movie, which is called Thor: The Dark World. You've got another Captain America movie called Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Those are lame names.
They are.
They sound like episodes of Friday the 13th, the series or something, like blockbuster movies.
Well, the Winter Soldier makes sense because Cap's partner, Bucky, who was thought to be dead when Cap, you know, fell into the ice and was presumed dead himself.
You're talking like I know anything about this.
All right. Well, Bucky was picked up by the Axis powers and was raised as a Russian assassin. So I am assuming, given the name of the title, he became the Winter Soldier, and thus, therefore, this will be kind of that story of Bucky reuniting with Cap in the modern world. So as enemies as opposed to friends. You got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is kind of this mystery film. Marvel had slated this film and had not given a name or told anything. I was kind of hoping it was going to be Doctor Strange, but obviously not. Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of an intergalactic police force. So we're going to get that, and then we're going to get Edgar Wright, who had done Scott Pilgrim versus the World. He's doing Ant-Man.
Yes.
Which is Dr. Henry Pym, who becomes an Avenger, so Ant-Man will then tie into the next Avengers film.
Oh my gosh, this is confusing.
It is. I know. But Marvel's doing gangbusters in terms of making these films work, so who am I to criticize? And then just a couple other things coming out of Comic-Con.
I have one to mention if you don't get it. So.
Okay, Community showrunners.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Have assured fans that they will not mess with the formula of the show.
Well, I hope they will. Frick not.
That they will keep doing.
Someone will have me on their doorstep.
But I don't know how you can kind of reinvent or reverse engineer someone like Dan Harmon, who is such a unique storyteller. I don't think
I'm sure somebody could find a way to screw it up.
Yeah. And then some American Idol news. Both Steven Tyler and Jennifer Lopez, as expected, are leaving. Announced there. Randy Jackson is still kind of holding on, but rumor has it that Fox is just going to clean house and he'll be gone too.
Okay. We didn't mention my favorite Comic-Con news.
Okay.
That actually has to do with comics. Imagine that.
Oh, imagine that.
Guess what Neil Gaiman's working on?
What? Another Sandman book?
Another Sandman. Prequel Sandman.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes. So, yeah, that was my favorite news out of Comic-Con. And again, it actually was comic news.
I had hoped we would get some news about American Gods that, you know, something would be shared, but I don't think it was. At least I haven't seen it.
No, not yet.
But that's coming to HBO as a series.
That.
All right, I'm done.
Well, Lord help us all.
Uh-oh.
Because there's another Kardashian here on Earth.
Shit, is it going to get its own TV series now?
Oh, I'm sure eventually she will. Yeah, Courtney popped. So we now have Penelope Scotland Disick. It's not technically a Kardashian. It's Scott's last name. So her middle name is Scotland after her father, Scott.
Yeah, brother.
Really? You couldn't think of any other way to... Okay. Yeah. Anyhow.
I guess it's better than Penelope Pitstop.
Yeah. Welcome to Penelope, and I'm just so sorry, sweetheart. That's your family. Oh, you picked the wrong mama. But anyhow, that's the big news rocking in Kardashian world this week.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, we'll have updates about the latest Batman, the final Batman film in the Nolan franchise, before he moves on and they start doing Justice League movies, you know, with Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I don't want to. Won't let myself. I have to realize this might be, this could be, this is... Goodbye.